Good morning. This is The Coffee Table. Thanks for joining us here on KBBI AM 890 Homer. I'm Quentin Chandler, and in the studio with me today is borough candidate Willie Dunn. Willie, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Quentin.
We were expecting to be joined by Dawson Slaughter, Willie's competition, but Dawson has not shown up, and we haven't been able to get in touch with him, so we're going ahead without him. Willie, first, I was just wondering if you can share with our listeners why you were hoping to run for why you are running for borough assembly and why you're hoping to get elected to the seat.
Sure. Thanks, Quentin. And thank you, KBBI, for this forum. It's really wonderful to have this radio station here in our community to have forums like this. I have been a resident of the Fritz Creek area for 28 years or so, and been very involved in local issues, local community organizations, local advisory boards and commissions. And I'm at a time in my life where I think I have the time and energy and knowledge and experience to give back. I've received benefits from the borough in the form of roads, schools, our solid waste management, hospitals, emergency services, all of that. And certainly time to give back.
Got you. Very nice. So, Willie, right now, I think one of the top concerns for everyone, it's the same for the city candidates, city council candidates. The borough is, like every other municipality in Alaska, feeling the impact of the state's fiscal crisis. If you sat on the borough assembly, how would you recommend the Kenai Peninsula borough kind of adapt to this current fiscal climate? What tact will you take?
Well, you used a key word there, Quentin. The key word is adapt. State funding will be decreasing. Right now, the borough operates on revenue roughly obtained one-third through sales taxes, one-third through property taxes, and one-third from other sources, a variety of other sources, and some of that includes state funding. So with the state fiscal climate and the state's reduced income from low oil taxes, the borough will see a cut in state funding. So we're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to look at things thoughtfully and carefully. I'm sure there will be some areas that will have to be cut, but I think we can also get creative with balancing our revenues to provide the services necessary.
Right. And I want to get into that a little bit. Do you have any ideas on things that you think the borough could do without, that the borough could trim back on, or any creative bookkeeping the borough could do to, I made that sound kind of illegal, didn't I? anything the borough could do to kind of, just anything specific that you think the borough could do to meet this challenge?
Well, our core services are, like I said earlier, schools, roads, solid waste. And then we also have hospital service areas and emergency services service areas. I would have to look at each individual budget item carefully. I have not studied the budget in depth, so I can't say right now where I would want to cut. I know that our administration, I trust the borough administration to do an efficient job, and the assembly serves as oversight for that. So I certainly would try to look carefully at areas that could be reduce or efficiencies that could be gained. I don't have any specifics right now because, as I said, I haven't studied the budget in depth, but that would be an important part of my job if I got elected.
All right. Thank you. And one thing I'm wondering, you have cuts and then you also have revenues on the other side of the equation. When you look at this budget, if you are elected, would you recommend, changes in the tax regime? Whether it be reducing taxes or whether it be increasing or instituting some kind of new taxes that we haven't seen before?
Right. Well, right now, our sales tax is at the maximum that's been approved by voters. It's at a 3% borough sales tax. The voters have approved to not tax food in the wintertime, and I support that. I actually do not approve of taxes on food at all, so I support the wintertime tax exemption. So I don't think we can improve or increase sales tax, and I would not want to increase sales taxes. Our property taxes right now, when the assembly increased our borough-wide sales tax from 2% to 3% about 10 years ago, they reduced the mill rate to from 5.5 to 4.5%. So property owners got a break. And I do not foresee raising property taxes at all. I think most property owners are burdened with as much as they can handle right now, and don't foresee any raising any property taxes. So that leaves that one third of other sources, and that's where we could get creative in looking at those closely, going over with a fine tooth comb. I know the borough right now is in the process of reviewing the tax structure, and I'm sure the next assembly will be looking at some of those ideas to perhaps increase some revenue from those other sources.
All right. I'm going to take another tack. You mentioned the tax on groceries and the tax exemption on groceries, and I would like to talk about that, but we're going to go into that a little bit later. First, I want to focus on this next question. Last meeting that the Borough Assembly had, they had it here in Homer, actually. Some of the members, the Assembly members were considering a resolution that would recommend state funding to the Pratt Museum. And some of the members said that they thought that the Borough should exercise more discretion in the recommendations that they make to the state as far as funding goes. If you're on the Assembly, the Assembly in the near future, do you see yourself, taking that tact, saying that we need to be more judicial in the items that we put before the state and recommend for funding? Or do you think that we should continue to just recommend funding for those things that we hold near and dear, like the Pratt Museum?
Well, that's a really good question, Quentin. I consider myself a fiscal conservative, and I think we should be very judicious in not only what we spend, but what we ask the state to spend. And as we mentioned earlier, state revenues are declining dramatically and or drastically. So we're going to have to be very careful about that. I would support a request to the state to fund the Pratt Museum. I think that is a very important community asset to our community and actually to visitors and borough-wide. The Pratt Museum is a wonderful, wonderful facility. As far as what's appropriate to ask for and what's not, I always advocate that we get as much public input as possible to see what our constituents want and need and if they're willing to pay for it. Like I said, I'm a fiscal conservative. I have to be, being a seasonal state worker. My income is pretty moderate. And so in my personal life, I've been a fiscal conservative, and I would bring that to the borough also.
All right. And you've mentioned that you would like to get public input, see what the voters are willing to pay for, what the voters would like the state to pay for. Also, what other criteria would you say that, an item might need to pass in your mind before you would say we should make that recommendation?
Sure. We need to make sure that any institutions that we support or fund are at least mostly self-sustaining. I would not want to fund any organization that continues to require large amounts of public money. So any kind of nonprofit we support, like the Pratt Museum, would need to be mostly self-sufficient and self-supporting. And want to look at the benefits to all borough residents, and particularly District 9. That's the area that I will represent if elected. So I want to look at what's best for everybody. Strike a balance between providing services and limiting taxes as much as possible.
Well, thank you for that, Willie. I think you've covered that pretty well. Next, I just want to ask about your own qualifications for this seat. What do you think you bring to the table that the voters might value in a borough assembly member?
Well, I would consider myself a very good listener, thoughtful and deliberate. I don't like to make rash decisions. You know, I'm coming into this with no axes to grind. I don't have anything I'm trying to overturn. I really appreciate the work that our previous assembly members have done. Mako Haggerty, I think, has done a fine job representing us. He and I disagree on a number of issues. We were just talking about that the other day, but we can respectfully disagree. Millie Martin before was a fine borough assembly woman, and she was a mentor of mine. We served together on the local Kachemak Bay Advisory Planning Commission, and she was very instrumental in helping me see the importance, the importance of service to our local governments. I've got a strong track record of participation in local boards and commissions. Too many to list. You can go to the borough website and see my candidate statement that lists some of those. So I think I have the experience, the time and energy and the dedication to work hard for our residents of District 9.
Thank you very much, Willie. So here's a can of worms to open up.
Okay.
Mayor Navarre has assembled a healthcare task force to try and find ways to reduce the cost of healthcare here on the peninsula. No clear recommendations have come out of it yet, and as I'm sure you probably know, the mayor has made this attempt in the past. But right now, I'm wondering if any, you know, big recommendations come out of that task force and go before the assembly to consider. What criteria would you say, you know, those recommendations would need to have for you to seriously consider them, for you to seriously consider, saying that the borough should take action on them?
Well, it's a process, Quentin, and I look forward to, hearing from the borough healthcare task force. And I really respect and honor the people who are willing to serve on that. We have a representative here in Homer that's serving on that, Bill Smith. And, you know, they're working diligently to try and find efficiencies. They will be bringing recommendations to the Borough Assembly. We're going to have to look at those, with a fine-tooth comb, like I said. I'm not trying to dodge any issues, but, you know, until we have specific recommendations from them, there's not a whole lot that we can do. Efficiencies are really important. I would not be opposed to perhaps lumping certain departments to create efficiencies if that's possible. The big can of worms that some people have been talking about is whether to combine the Central Emergency Services Area, or not, excuse me, Central Hospital Service Area with the South Peninsula Hospital Service Area. That would be a big change, and I'm not supporting or opposing that at this time. I think we need to look closely at that. I know that South Peninsula residents pay a much higher mill rate for supporting the local hospital than Central Peninsula residents do, partially because of efficiencies, the volume of traffic they have at the Central Peninsula Hospital, and if we can work out something there, I would be absolutely willing to look at that possibility. I'm not saying that it's something we should do, but we need to look at it, and we need to get as much information as possible.
Right. Do you think that, you know, that is the key right now? We just don't have the information, I'm just going to focus on the option of combining the service areas. Do you think that we just don't have enough information at the moment? Or do you think that there are some pros and cons already evident?
Oh, absolutely. There are some pros and cons. One of the pros for Central Peninsula residents is a very low tax rate for their hospital service area. I think they pay 0.1 mill rate, whereas the South Peninsula Hospital tax rate is closer to 2-point-something mills. So, I don't blame Central Peninsula residents for not wanting to combine hospitals and having to support the South Peninsula Hospital. Combining them would very likely reduce the mill rate for South Peninsula Hospital, so residents of the South Peninsula. So it's something that we, again, need to strike a balance. Perhaps there's some sort of compromise. You know, the healthcare task force will be providing us with a lot more information over the next coming months. They're looking at not only the government healthcare service areas, but they're also looking at things like methods to deliver health services and balancing the private versus the government operation of our healthcare services. So, very complex issue, and not something that we can easily just say, this is great, that's horrible. I mean, we need to look at things very carefully, thoughtfully, deliberately, and it will take many, many months.
Right, right. And, you know, it's definitely going to be a painful process. One wonders why you would want to volunteer for this type of work.
Well, a number of friends have suggested that maybe I'm less than sane for volunteering for something like this. But like I said, I think it's important to give back to the community. I've received a lot of benefits from the borough over the years, I think it's really important to participate. It's one thing to just sit back and complain and whine about how things are. It's another one to, you know, jump right in and roll up your sleeves and get to work.
Thank you very much, Willie. I'm going to open up our phone lines now. If you would like to call in to the coffee table, toll free to speak with Willie Dunn and pose a question or give a comment, you can call 1-877-979-5224, or you can call locally 907-299-6693. 907-235-7721. For some reason, I'm giving out the wrong phone number today. Not enough sleep, maybe. But we were hoping to be joined by Dawson Slaughter this morning. Dawson has not responded to our invite, maybe he'll show up later. Who knows? Right now, we are in with Willie Dunn, borough candidate for the District 9 seat. Willie, next question I want to pose to you. The borough's anadromous waters habitat protection ordinance that actually came under fire earlier this year, and it's been, you know, kind of a sticky subject for quite a few years here on the peninsula. Wondering if that comes up again in the borough assembly, would you be for repealing that ordinance or peeling back some of the protection areas, or would you rather that ordinance, you know, stay as is?
Well, I would not be in favor of repealing that ordinance. No, I think it's a very important ordinance. A little bit of history behind it. It was originally enacted in 1998, covering only the Kenai River area and tributaries of the Kenai River. Our borough assembly member, the late Drew Scalzi, actually supported or proposed and worked to enlarge the anadromous stream ordinance to cover rivers and streams on the southern peninsula. And Drew, although he was a conservative Republican, he saw the value in protecting our salmon. And I think, you know, salmon is the lifeblood of the peninsula. You know, we have economies and personal use fisheries. Our economy revolves around salmon and healthy salmon populations, so we need to do everything we can to protect healthy salmon runs. There was an effort in the past year to change that ordinance, to weaken it, in my opinion, and went through a very interesting process. I followed that process. I commented on it. I wrote to borough assembly members, and the borough assembly voted to retain the protections as they are. There are people who look at certain parts of that ordinance as a restriction of their property rights. But like I said, salmon are the lifeblood of the peninsula, and we need to live under a series of laws and regulations that protect our salmon. And so if I need to give up a small portion of my property in order to allow salmon habitat to be protected and for salmon to thrive, I think that's a reasonable thing to do. some people have compared the restrictions from the Anadyrmus Stream Ordinance to other restrictions we have on our property. We have utility easements, we have setbacks, all these other restrictions on our properties that we're willing to accept to for the benefit of our neighbors. And I see the Anadyrmus Streams Ordinance as one of those. And, you know, we have extraordinary freedoms in the Kenai Peninsula Borough. We can build homes without the oversight that many municipal governments have, and we can do most anything we want on our properties if we're not harming others. But we do live under some restrictions, and I think the Anadyrmus Stream Ordinance is a reasonable regulation.
Right. And there are, as you said, quite a few people on both sides of this. Some take your position that is an acceptable sacrifice to make in the effort to preserve our salmon, and then others say that they love salmon, they would love to see salmon thrive, but they also believe that it is an unnecessary burden on their property rights, an unnecessary encroachment on their property rights. Wondering if you think there's a way to kind of strike a balance between those two opposing sides, and do you think that the borough assembly could do this, could do it a little bit better?
Well, I think we have struck a balance, Quentin. And, you know, all of the borough ordinances are always up for review and change. So I am not opposed to looking at changes. This ordinance has been changed many times. It has been changed to allow development, some sorts of development. It has been changed to allow waivers. It has been changed. It's been expanded from, like I said earlier, from the Kenai Peninsula to the Kenai River area to the entire peninsula, the entire borough. So, like all of our laws and regulations, it's always up for review and change, and I am absolutely willing to look at any of those and get as much public input as possible, and make sure the make sure the science is clear. Sorry, I've got a little cough. Make sure the science is clear and that we're making decisions that benefit all of us and particularly benefit healthy salmon populations. If you look back on what was happening on the Kenai River back in the late 1970s and early 1980s, it was very dramatic. There were drastic changes. Private property owners were bulldozing fill right into the river, creating causeways and damaging habitat at will. And it wasn't until our Governor Jay Hammond put together a task force to protect the Kenai River and its world-class salmon fishing that the borough adopted some changes.
Well, thank you very much, Willie. I'm going to move on, and don't worry about the cough. It happens to the best of us. Moving on to my next question, we're going to look at the school district. The Kenai Peninsula Kenai Peninsula Borough School District it receives funds from both the state and from the borough. And as the borough and other municipalities are facing these uncertain times with the state budget situation, so the school district as well. Wondering if you sat on the borough assembly, would you be for funding the school system to the cap, to the maximum legal limit, or near that legal limit? There are, a lot of concerns. People who are, advocating funding the schools definitely would like to see the borough fund to that limit. Wondering where you stand on that.
Sure. I think schools are one of our most critical borough services. You know, we need an educated populace in order to make good decisions. And I'm so proud of the borough school system. My daughter went to our borough school systems from kindergarten through high school. She was prepared for a really good college education from our Kenai Peninsula Borough Schools. and went on to be a very successful adult. I participated in the school system since my daughter was a young girl. Actually, I used our schools even before she was born. I've been involved with community activities, and we've had community meetings and contra dances and all kinds of activities in our schools for many, many years. But as far as funding our schools, I think a couple of things come to mind. there is a cap, a legal cap, and we can't go above that, obviously. But if the situation warrants, I would fund to the cap if needed. Again, we have to look at those things with a fine-tooth comb. We need to trust our Borough school administrators and the Board of Education to provide us with, the best information available. I think forward funding is really necessary. That will reduce uncertainty. I would really encourage the state to provide forward funding. We need to slow the rate of increase of healthcare costs in our school district. I mean, that comes under that other can of worms you opened with the healthcare task force. We can reform workers' compensation, which would save some money. I just support our schools fully and would hope that we could get the most efficiency, most bang for our buck, and continue to have some real excellent schools here in the borough.
I'm going to open up the phone lines again. Let's see if I can get it right this time. We have a number that you can call toll-free, 1-877-979-5224. And you can call here locally, 907-235-7721. And thank you for the thumbs up, Terry. We have Willie Dunn, candidate for the South Peninsula District 9 seat for Borough Assembly, here on the coffee table with us. You can call in and offer some comments or pose a question if you'd like. Willie, with schools comes also the discussion of revenue. Our sales tax revenue goes towards funding the schools from the borough's end. Non-prepared foods, the seasonal sales tax exemption on non-prepared foods is, extremely controversial. Many people say that, having that tax on those foods in the summer months and perhaps longer would help fund the school system, and others say that having that tax is just immoral. It's not right to tax food, and whether they say it's immoral or whether they say it's economically unfeasible to fund, to place that burden on families, they're just flat out against it. So the borough this year considered extending the sales tax period on groceries to 6 months from our current 3 month period. Wondering where you stand there. That eventually got shut down, and the only ordinance on the ballot this year is going to be whether or not to repeal the ordinance that offers general law cities the exemption. General law cities the option of taxing groceries. So, wondering where you stand on this issue. Do you think that, well, we'll go with the first point there. Do you think that an extension on the tax period for groceries would be acceptable?
Well, as you said, Quentin, our 3% borough sales tax goes all of that goes towards education, and as I said earlier, I am opposed to taxing food. I think it's a regressive tax that harms our lowest income residents the most, particularly young people and senior citizens who their food budget might make up a bigger part of their total annual budget. So I even have a hard time with the with the summer food sales tax. However, the idea behind that is to capture revenue from non-residents. We have a lot of visitors in the summer, and so the borough has tried to strike a balance with having the tax on non-prepared food only in the summertime. I know that there was a proposal to increase that to 6 months, but it failed. Again, people spoke loudly and clearly that taxing food is not the way that our residents want to go. And they've said that through the ballot initiative, through testimony to the borough assembly, and from talking to assembly members. So I can't foresee expanding the sales tax on food beyond the current summer sales tax, and I even get a little bit of heartburn with that. So, you know, again, we have to come up with some other ideas to fund our schools or to reduce the costs. And like I mentioned, you know, healthcare costs of school employees is a big issue. Hopefully there'll be ways to do that. Reforming workers' comp costs, that could help reduce our school budget. Finding efficiencies and, you know, maintaining a quality education without breaking the budget of our low-income residents here is what we need to do.
Thanks, Willie. I'm going to stay with this for a second, but first I want to go over to our phone line. We have a caller on line two. Hi, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well.
I'm sorry, I just got passed a note here and I can't really read it. Is your name Joan?
Joanne.
Joanne, thank you very much for calling. Did you have a question or a comment for Willie here?
Yeah, I do. As we've seen from our past representatives and the difference between, say, the editorial page in Homer and Kenai, our borough is not exactly homogeneous. What do you see as the difference between the needs of the Southern Peninsula and the Central Peninsula, Northern Peninsula? How do you see that working differently?
Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Joanne. I appreciate the question, and I really wish my opponent Dawson were here so we could have a debate on this, but I see the South Peninsula and the Central Peninsula as, you know, quite different in some ways and very similar in other ways. The Central Peninsula Hospital has a much lower mill rate, and that might be due to an economy of scale. We have a lower population down here on the Southern Peninsula. We also have a very different economy. I'd say a more diverse economy here. We excuse me. We do not depend so much on the oil industry down here, but we depend more on fishing, tourism. There's a growing agricultural community here. I think we really need to support our small farmers on the Southern Peninsula. They can be of a great benefit to us here. So, yeah, I see some pretty big differences between the Southern and Central Peninsula. In fact, that's why one of my sayings on my yard signs and website is the South Peninsula matters. You know, the seat of borough government being in Soldotna, sometimes the South Peninsula is forgotten, and I would want to represent the South Peninsula as a unique entity here in the Kenai Peninsula Borough.
Thank you very much for the answer, Willie. We kind of diverted a little bit, but I'm going to remind you, we were talking about the grocery tax on non-prepared foods. My next question for you on that is, you know, the second part of this. You know, we have a question on the ballot this year looking at whether or not general law cities should be able to, you know, kind of ignore the borough code and tax groceries year-round, or, you know, just not do it during the summer months as we currently do here in the borough. Wondering what your thoughts on that are. Do you think that, you know, it's perfectly fine for general law cities to be able to, you know, make their own decision there?
Sure. It's a complicated issue, Quentin. And it really is more than what you see on the signs around town of, you know, the the signs with the pink pig that says end the grocery tax. Proposition one, I do support, because, as I said, I oppose sales tax on food in general. However, Proposition one would strictly restrict the general law cities of Homer, Sildovia, and Soldotna from collecting food sales tax in the winter. Currently, Sildovia and Homer do not collect sales tax on food in the winter. Right now, Soldotna is the only city that does that, so they do collect sales tax on food in the winter. And it's a little bit odd that, you know, the entire borough is voting on a proposition that would prohibit one city from doing that, but I think that is the, you know, the will of the voters when they voted to prevent collecting sales tax on food in the winter. I think that most voters were of the understanding that that would be borough-wide, and so there's some people have a problem with the city of Soldotna exempting themselves from that. I talked with city manager Tim Dillon in Sildovia, and he said that the Proposition 1 would have no impact on Sildovia, so I felt comfortable supporting that. Sildovia would be part of my district if elected. So after talking with the Sildovia city manager, I'm comfortable supporting Proposition 1.
Sorry, I almost had a cough there, too. Interesting thing about this is the referendum, Proposition 1, would also affect, could possibly affect, the city of Homer's options to raise revenue in our current fiscal bind. That we have a number of residents who have already voiced their opinion that they don't want the grocery tax here in Homer, and that is evidenced by the fact that you know, the city council has not been, or the city has not been, has not instituted a, you know, the grocery tax, and, you know, over the past few years. And so I'm wondering, do you think that this referendum, even though it's would only affect Soldotna at the moment, do you think it could still have a negative impact on Homer in the future? Should say that, you know, city residents did one day decide that they wanted to go ahead and give the city permission to, you know, institute a tax.
Sure. Yeah, it will reduce the city of Homer's options for sure. But again, you know, I believe in the the will of the voters, you know, prevailing, and that we should, again, not tax food at all. I still don't even think that a summer tax on food is proper. But if the voters of the borough want this prohibition on winter sales tax to be borough-wide, yeah, it's going to restrict those cities, Sildovia, Homer, and Soldotna. And, you know, I do support local control, but within the rule of law. So, you know, our general rule city here in Homer, not a city resident, but I use a lot of the city businesses, and I do pay sales tax here and use some of the city services. So I think they need to operate within the guidelines set for them, and honor the will of the voters.
All right, enough on the grocery tax. I'll stop making you sweat on that. Next thing I wanted to talk to you about is the senior property tax exemption. That is, you know, controversial. Some people say that, you know, we should get rid of it. Some people say we should keep it. What are your thoughts there? If you were on the assembly, would you, you know, would you support having the senior property tax exemption? Would you say that it maybe needs to sunset?
Well, I support the senior property tax exemption. You know, seniors are a very important component of our borough, and they're often low income, not always, but often lower income residents. The current exemption is for $300,000 of their primary residence, with the additional $50,000 exemption that it's afforded to all residents in the borough. So it is a big savings for our seniors, and we've been getting by and living within that property tax scheme here for many years now, and I support that. I would not want to weaken that. But again, I'm open to looking at all options, all proposals. I certainly want to try and do whatever I can to protect our low-income residents. You know, that does include a certain section of the senior citizen community. Also includes our young residents here too. But currently, any property owner can exempt up to $50,000 of the value of their primary residence for property taxes. Seniors get an additional $300,000. And as property values change, you know, that's going to benefit some people even more. But I support the current exemption.
All right. Thank you. And, you know, you already mentioned, you know, we need to also protect our younger, you know, the younger demographic that might be moving here into the borough, or already living here in the borough, from some of the, you know, costs associated with living here. Wondering, do you think that, you know, there's possibly room for a similar exemption for some younger residents who are, you know, just kind of getting on their feet here in the borough?
Well, there's always the option of looking at needs-based exemptions. Actually, some seniors qualify for complete waivers. we don't have that option for residents other than seniors, but I'm certainly willing to look at that. But we can't, you know, cut taxes for one group and you know, put the burden on other folks. We need to look at balance. We need to look at equitable distribution of our property taxes. So it's, you know, it's a good question, and I would certainly consider it. But I can't make any promises about giving property tax relief to low-income people, but I think needs-based exemptions might be worth looking at.
Of course. Be careful about making promises. Things change once you get in that seat. we are going to open up our phone lines again. 1-877-979-5224 is the toll-free number you can call to get here on the coffee table to speak with Willie Dunn, borough candidate for the South Peninsula District 9 seat. You can also call locally, 907-235-7721. Look at that. Two times in a row, I got that right. So, Willie, next, an interesting question here. The borough has, you know, its own marijuana task force to tackle the issue of how to regulate legal marijuana. Would you, as an assembly member, what would you, as an assembly member, propose be done? What direction would you propose the borough take as far as regulating marijuana in the borough and trying to control the criminal element that is probably always going to be associated with that drug?
Sure. Well, last year the voters in Alaska voted to allow marijuana to be regulated like alcohol. So there's a marijuana control board that's actually in the process right now of developing state regulations. And my understanding is in November, there will be some regulations proposed. And at that time, we'll have a lot more information on how the borough can interact. I see there's opportunities for business development, for income to the borough, for revenue. Since the state law is now that marijuana is legal and can be regulated, we need to look at those opportunities, but at the same time, we need to, you know, have some tight reins on how we do it. Just, you know, the way we regulate alcohol, we don't allow alcohol sales within a certain distance of schools and churches and things like that. So I think it's appropriate to have regulations. What those state regulations will be, we won't know until November. There's been proposals, and they're constantly changing, and it's going to be a process that we'll need to be involved with. I'm really glad, again, that there's a task force. The Borough Marijuana Task Force is looking carefully at that and will be reporting to the Assembly, but certainly opportunities for business development and revenue.
And we have a caller on line one, Abe.
Hey.
Hi, Abe. Did you have a question or a comment here for Willie?
I did. I was just going to ask if there's any ideas, any advice, mine there about the price of gasoline in Homer relative to Soldotna or Anchorage and the price of groceries. Every time I go to Soldotna or Anchorage, I see lots and lots of people from Homer buying all their stuff up there. And it's not just an 8% sales tax difference. It's 25-35% difference in costs. Now, is there anything that I've been in the transportation business. I know what it costs to ship stuff. Why are things so darn expensive in Homer? And I'll take the comment off the air. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Abe. So, Willie, that's that's a nice, interesting question for you there. What do you think about Abe's question? Is there a way?
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, it is a frustration for sure. And I don't know why there's such a huge disparity. I understand the economies of scale have an impact and transportation costs have an impact, but that doesn't seem to explain all of the higher prices down here. And I've needed to travel to Anchorage and Soldotna several times in the past month for a variety of reasons, and I've noticed a big difference in the especially the gasoline prices. It's not something I think the borough can address as a borough government. I mean, we can certainly ask questions and look into it, but I do not know why the prices are so much higher down here. I do know that, you know, people really love to live here, and they will live here despite the higher prices. I know groceries, gasoline, any number of things are higher cost down here, but a number of people find it worth living down here and paying a little bit higher cost. If we are being gouged, I certainly would want to see that stopped, and I know there are some people looking into price fixing and that type of thing with gasoline prices in many areas, and I don't know if that's happening, but if it is, it certainly should be addressed.
We have another caller on line one. Hi, is this Carl?
This is Carl. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Carl.
I wanted to ask Willie if he thought it'd be possible someday in the future, maybe, if we created an international school ship that's designed for the poles. And what I mean by international is there's lots of partnership countries for the Arctic form. And if we created a facility here that would build a progressive educational school ship somewhere in the Kenai Peninsula and had these other partnership countries participate with their youth, with their academia, with their resources to help engage in using this vessel, we could export a program possibly to educate other schools in not just our country but around the world about the changes in the poles, and I see it as a real win for the Kenai Peninsula to get progressive with manufacturing energy-efficient vessels that are going to help support our climate change, as well as renewable energy, and also to also be a vessel that would also encourage this LNG operation that's happening in the Kenai Peninsula. So there's going to be a lot more science and research, nearshore research, that this vessel would be beneficial. And I'm just wondering, how can we do it with our schools and also at the international level so that we can help create a revenue stream from building an industrial polar expedition vessel?
Thank you very much for calling in, Carl. So, Willie, a lot of concerns there on Carl's mind. Do you have an answer for him?
Sure. Hey, thanks, Carl, for calling in. I support the development of any maritime education that we can do here. I know that you know, there's the local businesses have been organizing, the Marine Trades Organization, excuse me, our local campus of Kenai Peninsula College is now got a regular curriculum in maritime industry. I would love to see the borough schools have some kind of connection, some kind of avenue to pursue something like you're talking about there, Carl. It's going to take a lot of effort and organization and combining forces with other governments, other cultures, other people, and I think that's a very appropriate avenue that our borough government could take. You know, we're a very small local municipality in the scheme of things. We're large in geographic area, but, you know, we can't just take on a huge project like that. But we can certainly support networking and combining forces with others. And I think the maritime industry is really an important part of our lives here. I'm really, really glad to see the local college starting their maritime curriculum. And the local marine trades organization, I think, is doing some great things. But it all starts with youngsters getting excited about boats. And so anything we can do to promote that, I am very supportive of. Just a matter of working out the details. The devil is always in the details. Yes, I do support those concepts heartily.
And we have time for one more caller here on line two. We have Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks for the show.
Absolutely. So you have a question or a comment for Willie?
I do. I had a question about the borough and their relationship to library services. The city of Homer provides library services, and the borough doesn't seem to provide library services for residents. And I just didn't know why that was. I know that there's emergency service areas, but there doesn't seem to be any borough support for library services, either in support, in contract with the Homer Library, or in creating contract branches in the smaller communities.
Thank you very much for calling in, Charlie.
Thank you.
That's a great question, Charlie. You're right. The borough does not have any avenue right now to provide library services other than through our schools, and I think the libraries in the schools are very important, and I would support libraries providing information to our kids in the schools as much as possible. Down here on the Southern Peninsula, the city of Homer does operate the library, and you know, with reduced revenues like we've been talking about throughout the show, the city is struggling with how to continue to do that. I read in the paper just last week in the local papers here that you know, some people say, hey, why doesn't the borough support the library? As far as I know, we don't have the mechanism to do that right now, and it's not one of our core services. You know, we deal with schools, roads, solid waste, hospitals, and emergency services. There's actually a proposition on the ballot for the residents of Nikiski to start a law enforcement service area. The borough currently is not involved with law enforcement, but that may change after October 6th in Nikiski. So it's an avenue worth exploring. The crux of the matter is, you know, we want the services, but are we willing to pay for them? So we can create service areas in the borough, but that means that our property owners will be paying for that through property taxes. So again, striking a balance, finding support, finding it, is this what benefits the majority of the population in District 9, and if people are supportive of it, I'd be really willing to work on something like that for sure.
Thank you very much for answering the question, Willie. So I have one more thing for you, and don't worry, this isn't a toughie. In your opinion, what are your primary responsibilities if you are elected to the District 9 seat? What responsibilities do you believe you have to the borough and to the voters?
Well, I think my prime responsibility is to represent the residents of District 9 in the best way I can. And that requires a lot of work. I don't like to make rash decisions. I want to make informed decisions. So I'm going to be doing a lot of homework. If I'm elected on Tuesday, I will be having to do a lot of reading, a lot of meeting with residents, a lot of taking phone calls from residents, and you know, trying to balance that input with what's best for everybody. You know, my prime responsibility, representing the citizens of District 9 as best I can.
And one more thing. You have already mentioned to me several times that you don't have an agenda that you're taking in with you, you know, into this race. Wondering if you're elected, you know, do you have any priorities? Anything that you just would love to weigh in on? Any priorities that you think are important to address from the Borough Assembly?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I said earlier, I don't have any axes to grind. I'm not coming in here with any negative opinions. I want to come in with an open mind and be willing to do what's best for our residents. I think probably one of the biggest things that I'll be dealing with is the fiscal situation and dealing with balancing our borough budget and providing adequate funding for our core services. I think the hospital issues are going to be big, the healthcare issues, so I'm looking forward to working on those. But as I said, no axes to grind, open mind and thoughtful deliberation on all borough issues.
All right. Thank you very much, Willie, for coming in. I am all done with my questions. Is there anything that you just would love to say to the voters before we wrap the show up?
Sure. Well, again, I am really sorry that Dawson didn't make it in. I really wish we could have had more of a dialogue. I hope everything's okay. Hope he was not detained somewhere because of the snow. You know, with the snow, I also was reminded of the importance of our borough road maintenance. I live on a borough road, and I appreciate the maintenance of that road for sure. I want to thank all the supporters I've had. I just had overwhelming support. People have been calling, writing, helping, volunteering, and it's just been very heartwarming to see the support. Looking forward to October 6th. Please get out and vote. No matter who you vote for, please just get out there and vote and participate, be part of it. If you want to track election results, we're going to be having a gathering at Alice's Champagne Palace. There's even discussion of having some kind of special meal in my honor. I don't know what it'll be. Maybe a burger done on a bun or something like that. But grateful for the support from Alice's and all of the local businesses and residents. And if I am elected, that's just the start of a journey where I'll be getting even more input from people over my term as a borough assemblyman. So please get out and vote October 6th, and thank you for all of the support.
And thank you for coming in, Willie. You're listening to The Coffee Table. It is about 9:58. Thanks for joining us. Jesse Thorne is coming up next with Bullseye.